On today's show, we're going to be looking at James Wiseman, doing a scouting report on him as we head towards the 2020 NBA draft. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it. To it.
Let's get to it indeed.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at BasketballMonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at @RedRock_BBall and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today's episode is also brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code Locked On and save $10 off your first box. We're back with another NBA Draft Scouting Profile Show. We've done LaMelo Ball, Killian Hayes, Obi Toppin, Anthony Edwards, and now it's time to look at the bluntster, James Wiseman. Where are you now? Indeed. James Wiseman, this is a tough one to do, as this draft is a really tough draft in general to look at, especially with the restrictions we've got now with scouting combines and measurements and all that sort of stuff. And we didn't get a tournament, all that sort of stuff. It's going to make it even harder. And considering the talent level in this draft, it's a harder proposition again. Just a note, at the end of this week, I've been doing every Friday show, I've been doing redraft, starting with the 2019 redraft, gone all the way back to 2013. Now those shows are going to be replaced with mock drafts, or most of them are going to be replaced with mock drafts. So my first 2020 mock draft will be coming on Friday, doing the full first round mock draft there. That'll change, of course, over the coming weeks as we get more information, as I do more study, but my preliminary mock draft is coming on Friday. Of course, Wiseman, who a lot of people thought would be the number one pick heading into the college season. There were plenty of people who didn't think that at the time, people whose opinions I respect quite a lot. And then, of course, we had the nonsense of him in college, where he went to Memphis and he had NCAA violations. He was suspended. He played three games and then he just booted and said, well, I'm done with your bullshit. And look, there are two sides to this argument about, oh, he shouldn't have bailed on his teammates. Why did he commit if he wasn't going to play? There's also the other side of the NCAA is a corrupt bunch of crooks and their rules and restrictions are absolute nonsense. So I understand why he got pissed off and didn't want to deal with it. There's validity to both sides of that. And as always, or as usual, most of the time, somewhere the truth lies somewhere in the middle of that. But what we get, and this is going to become harder as NBA seasons move forward, as players go to the G League, like when Jalen Green goes there, how do we compare his numbers? When players go to Australia, when players go to Europe, when players are allowed to come straight out of high school, being able to compare people is going to be really hard in drafts, and it's going to be hard for our Dynasty Fantasy Basketball Leagues as well. So Wiseman only played the three games for Memphis. He played 69 minutes.
Giggity.
Over that time, and the thing that's really tough with Wiseman is that I do my preliminary rookie translations, and his numbers are absolutely through the roof. And he came out like on a per 30 basis, which is how I do this, is just straight translations. As a 33rd ranked player, that's obviously ridiculously good. But how much of that is real when we say we got 69 minutes of action? Like, it's a small sample size that it is impossible to rely upon. For those of you watching on the video, now I'm going to chuck on some highlights from Wiseman and just have a look at some things that he did in these games. Also some high school highlights in there, but let's talk about what he is. He is a 7'1" center. He's going to be 19 years of age as of draft time. And if we have a look at these numbers that he did put up, now he only played 23 minutes a night in those three games for Memphis. The thing that's going to stand out to you is he averaged almost 20 points per game, which is 31 points per 36 minutes. He averaged 11 rebounds, which is 17 rebounds per 36 minutes. He averaged 3 blocks in 23 minutes a night, which is 4.7 blocks per 36. They are insane numbers. He also averaged, which is insane, 9 free throw attempts per game. And he hit 70% of them. And for our fantasy purposes, hitting 70% is a negative. And on that volume, it's not good. But it also shows that he's got some sort of form there to his shooting stroke. And there is an ability for him to be maybe a solid enough free throw guy. Now, the 77 from the field looks absolutely staggering. And the way I think we can look at these numbers and go, they're not real, is by looking at his PER, which was 53. Now, that is just not a number that's going to happen. A box score plus minus of 16. A win shares per 48 of 0.4. Like, he was unbelievably statistically dominant in these games, and it would have evened out. We can look at these games and see what he did in each one. In his first game, 22 minutes, he had 22 and 11 with 3 blocks. In the next game, 17 and 9 with 5 blocks in 25 minutes, and then 14 and 12 in 22 minutes with a block. All right, so all of his numbers look astounding. They look amazing. But is that going to be a problem? Is that going to cause issues with Wiseman in terms of teams overrating him or fantasy people overrating him? I've seen, you know, in some of these other drafts that I've done, these other scouting profiles that I've done, that people have commented, Wiseman's going one. Wiseman's the best player in this draft. And I heartily disagree. In general, unless we are talking about Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis, even to a degree Jaren Jackson, but he wasn't my number one pick in that draft, unless you're talking about Joel Embiid, you take a perimeter player over a center, especially someone with the limitations that Wiseman does have. Now, there are a couple of things to talk about with Wiseman. Let's talk about what is good. Now, I think he can be, he's very athletic, obviously, and I love the fact that he's wearing short shorts, as you can see in these clips. That's a great look. He's very athletic in running. He's quite fast. He's a great leaper. In terms of transition play, in terms of rim running, in terms of rim protection, he's all very impressive in that area in his athleticism. Rim protection is not just jumping and blocking shots, though. So while the shots, the blocks were great, yeah, 8 blocks in 2 games, 9 in 3 games, the ability, as you can see here, some of his high school footage, his ability to move and jump and be athletic and long legs, running up and down the court, it's fantastic. But he also, when he defends, he's got that issue which so many young players do, these high shot blocking guys do, jumping too eagerly, looking for blocks, getting put out of position, and in the NBA, that becomes a big, big problem. Now, he might put up big block numbers, but you might run into a Jaren Jackson problem, a Mitchell Robinson problem of getting into foul trouble pretty easily or getting put out of position and being a player like John Henson, like The Rock DJ Robbie Williams, who put up big block numbers but are actually bad at defense. That is the concern. I think he can be a solid enough rim protector. Perimeter-wise, it's rough. Like, he cannot get into a situation where he has to get onto the perimeter. I think he looks pretty stiff laterally in terms of being able to move and deal with that sort of switch. He's got good size. He's got really good length as well. They are all encouraging. A 7'6 wingspan, really, really encouraging. But being able to run up and down the court in straight lines versus being able to move laterally and sidewards and being able, which is the same thing as laterally, of course, and being able to guard players on the perimeter is where we have a problem with him. So defensively, can he guard the paint? Yes. But is he a player that when you get into high leverage situations in the league, in the playoffs, you can that actually be useful? Is he a guy that you want closing games for you, who can get cooked in pick and rolls and in switches and doesn't provide anything that you need offensively? So could he be a solid enough floor-raising regular season center who's a starting center who puts up solid enough numbers? Yes. Is he the player that you want to take high up in the draft because you think he's going to be a game-changing player that wins you playoff series and games? I think the odds of that would say no. Now, his draft spot is wild. Like, some drafts, you'll see him at number one. I've seen some draft boards that have him in the 20s. And that's, yeah, I saw that from my mate Brian Schroeder, who you've seen on this podcast before. He wrote an article for Dime Uproxx, who just doesn't like what Wiseman does. He gets bullied down low. He doesn't provide, and we're going to get to his offense soon, he doesn't provide what you need offensively. He looks all well and good dominating high school players and in those 3 games in college, but how the hell is that going to make sense in the NBA? And I think there are legitimate concerns that I wouldn't have him that low. You'll see where he comes out in my first mock draft, but I'm telling you right now, he's not the number one player to me in this draft, and he won't be going at number one. Now, if this draft wasn't as shitty as it is, you may see him, and I don't have him outside the top 10, but you might see him fall outside the top 10 in a regular level class of draft prospects. But that's just not where we are with this draft. It is not that good. So, Wiseman, as I said, 19 years of age. I think that he can be, again, a solid starting center. very, very solid. Is, you know, solid starting center, Hassan Whiteside. Now, he's not the same player as Whiteside. He's not that different from Whiteside. But that's a solid center. And then you get into the playoffs, and is he actually good? No. I think that's where we're going to sit with Wiseman. Offensively, the difference between how he played in high school and how he played in the three college games was stark, and it's encouraging. What he did in high school was something that you don't really want to see, and that is trying to do shit that you cannot do and being convinced that you can do it to the detriment of your team. And that's what he was sort of like in high school, trying to take these perimeter shots where he's got a decent enough shot. The 70% free throws are pretty solid. Like, they're not bad numbers at all. And if we have a look, what he did, he improved from his AAU numbers where he's a 59% free throw shooter to be that 70% shooter in college. So that is encouraging that he was able to become that good from the free throw or so show us that level of improvement. If you want to show us a level of improvement in your overall body shape, you can go to BuiltBar.com to find yourself the best tasting protein bars you will ever find. Standard protein bars, they are not only high in calories and high in sugar, but they taste like sawdust. They taste like whatever you want to throw in there, ash, cement. They do not taste nice. Built Bar, they just taste like a candy bar. And what more could you want? High in protein, low in calories, low in sugar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar you can find. It comes in 16 fantastic flavors. 8 of those are nut-free as well, and all bars are covered in 100% chocolate. Take, for example, their peanut butter brownie bar. 20 grams of protein, just 170 calories, and only 3 grams of sugar. That is a fantastic nutritional profile for a protein bar. And now, if you go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your first order. That is a fantastic deal. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. The best tasting protein bars you will find. All right, so let's talk a little bit more now about Wiseman, about what we're seeing from him. He didn't really take any threes in college. In fact, he took 1 3 and missed it in those 3 games. In AAU ball, he attempted 1.6 per game and he hit half of them, which of course, 50% three-point shooting is strong. But back to what I was saying about him is that in college, he just didn't do those sort of things that he wasn't good at. And that is, pick and pops, long mid-range twos, trying to be too much of the offense. He did what he can do. Bully guys down low, got alley-oops, got lobs, got transition buckets, and was really good in that sort of an instance. Now, his usage was at 29%, mainly because of that, and mainly also because of a 38% free throw rate, which is a huge number. And if that can translate and he can become an 80% free throw guy, that is really, really valuable fantasy-wise. I don't think it will be. Look at someone even like DeAndre Ayton, who struggles to get free throw attempts, although Wiseman has been a better free throw drawer than what Ayton was in his limited college experience. But in terms of that, and I think that's part of the reason, the 77% field goal from Wiseman versus 55% in AAU is because he took the shots that he knew he could make. And that is a really important trait. And I give him huge credit for that. Because you don't want someone out there who is just trying to do everything and doesn't know their own limitations to the detriment of a team. Now, all well and good, you put a team on your back, look at me, I'm going to do everything. But if it actually doesn't work, then you're making your team worse. And that was a smart adjustment from Wiseman. The problem is if you can't do it, and then he gets to the NBA and he can't switch onto the perimeter and he can't do anything more than be a DeAndre Jordan type offensive player, then where's your, what are you as a top draft pick? You're not that top. You're not Karl Anthony Towns. You're not Joel Embiid. You're not those other high level centers. You're not Anthony Davis. I just don't see it for him in that level. Now, of course, he can get there. He can improve. His ability to be a pick and roll finisher is strong. I think the shooting will come to a degree, but I don't think he's ever going to be a Jaren Jackson Jr. level three-point volume shooter. The other real problem with him is decision-making and passing. It is absolutely non-existent. He just does not see players that are open. He does not make reads. He just is not, he's not just not a good passer. He's a bad passer. Hence the Hassan Whiteside comparison. He had 1 assist in his 3 games. Now that is rough. You should be able to at least fall into some assists. But AAU, 0.7 assists per game. Like, they are rough numbers, and the eye test will tell you the exact same thing as those passing numbers. And again, that's where you have the problem, is that if he does become this down low force, can he hit guys out of double teams? Can he be the guy that they throw the ball to and then he finds that open player because all the attention gets drawn to him? I don't think the attention's getting drawn to him in the first place, but if it does, can he find those guys? At this point, absolutely not. Can it develop along with his shot? I have way more confidence in his shot being able to develop than I do with his passing being able to develop. And he does have some decent enough IQ to find the space and be that finisher. But that doesn't mean that he's going to be this excellent, this is your all-NBA level center. For fantasy, it's a bit different. And we're going to be in a situation where most likely he goes to a bad team. He may not, because there are a couple of good teams at the top of the lottery who could become good teams, in the next year or two. That if he's on a bad team, he's going to come in and play 30, 31 minutes a night and probably put up 18 and 12 with two blocks, and it's really good fantasy numbers, really, really good. Be efficient and possibly be a top 40 player as a rookie. But when you're evaluating him from a dynasty perspective, what happens in 4 or 5 years when the team starts to get good and they realize, well, we don't just need to put our rookie out there for 35 minutes because at the end of games we're losing because of him. And then he becomes a 23, 25 minute a night center who can't close games for you, and that value drops off. So in a dynasty type format, there is some of that value in maybe drafting him early on in a dynasty draft, playing it out for 3 or 4 years and selling him at the peak and then seeing a drop off potentially come, which is sort of how I see things going with him. The IQ stuff, the shot selection stuff, the defensive IQ, there are real problems with that. That's an issue, and he needs to be able to develop some range in his shooting, whether that's from three-point range or taking more pick-and-pop twos versus just pick-and-roll stuff. So he's definitely an NBA-level player. There's no doubt about that. He's going to be a rotation player. He's going to be a starter. But will he be a high-level starter that was going to close games for you in high-leverage situations, in playoff-type situations? And that's sort of where I have some of my doubts about Wiseman. If we have a look at the draft model, Jacob Goldstein has the PIPM-based draft model. He comes out 10th in this class. I don't think that's crazy at all when most of those guys ahead of him are wings and guards. There's one big man ahead of him in that group, and that's Onyeka Okongwu, who we're going to talk about probably next week as the player to look at. And I think that's probably fair enough. He can put up some good numbers, but is it conducive to being a strong player in terms of winning basketball? I think he's a high candidate to be overdrafted in the actual NBA draft and overvalued in fantasy drafts or fantasy dynasty drafts. I think there's a real concern that that's going to happen with Wiseman. Now, of course, we just don't know so much about him because we just didn't get to see anything. He averaged 20 and 12 in 21 minutes or 20 and 11 in 21 minutes with three blocks. It's really, really good. It's ridiculously good. But it means nothing when your PER is 53. There's no way of that continuing. So there are concerns with that. Injury-wise, had never had any problems, so that's a good thing as well. Ability to be that finisher is really, really strong, as evidenced by that field goal percentage. But can he be someone that shoots? Can he be someone that knows how to hit one single pass? Can he stop biting for pump fakes? Can he deal with foul problems? All of these things absolutely are things that we need to pay attention to. Now, the fouls weren't a problem in college. 2.6 per 36 minutes is ridiculously low. NBA is a bit different, and we'll see how that goes. So, when we're looking at Wiseman here moving forward, this is sort of how I'm putting him. I've done 5 prospects now. I think I have him above Obi Toppin as a prospect, but behind the other 3 guys. That's Edwards, Hayes, and Ball. That's how I have this grouping at this point. I probably, he'd struggle to be a top 10 guy in majority of classes to me. I think you still have to take that chance on him. There are some special qualities, but there are also some big red flags that were red flags in high school and red flags now that don't necessarily tie into him being any sort of level of game changer, and that is a concern. What isn't a concern is that you guys can get your brains full of information, chock full of information, and that is by using one of the most useful apps that you can find on your phone, on your laptop, on your iPad, and that is Blinkist. It can be hard to find the time to sit down and read and learn more. When you don't have that free time, you can't read and work on your own personal development, and that's where Blinkist comes in. They get all of these great nonfiction books and just condense all of the information down to 15-minute key takeaways, whether that's in listening form or in reading. You can get that book, take the key information points away in just 15 minutes. Successful people are always looking to improve themselves, and I know you guys are successful, so you should be looking to improve yourselves, and a great way of doing that is with Blinkist. Get Blinkist now because you get unlimited access to their huge range of books. You can do it in the car, while you're going for a run, while you're sitting at home, while you're cleaning the house, when you've got 15 minutes to kill, pump some information into your brain. You can find books like How Champions Think in Sports and Life by Dr. Bob Rotella and Bob Cullen, Tiger Woods by Jeff Benedict, Becoming by Michelle Obama, and The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. And right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/MBA, try for free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. All right, so let's have a look at where Wiseman could potentially go and potentially fit. If we look at the top of the draft, yeah, the one that people always seem to steer towards is looking at the Golden State Warriors, because they don't really necessarily have a center, but they also don't value the center position highly. So they've got Marquese Chris there at the moment, but Draymond and Clay and Wiggins and Curry, of course, are the main guys. So he's not going to be a usage player there, but I could see them going for him. I don't think that that's the direction they want to go, but he wouldn't be completely outrageous there. Cleveland, who have got the second worst record at the moment, they just brought in Andre Drummond. They didn't give up anything for him, and I'm not sure they're overly enamored with him. There's Tristan Thompson still around. I don't think that they would steer clear of taking Wiseman. The Wolves, absolutely no need for them to do that with Karl Anthony Towns there. And while you don't draft for fit, necessarily or need, I don't think, and again, he's not that good where you go, well, I've just got to take the player who's significantly better than everybody else to fit him in. So I don't think that's the direction you go. The Hawks just traded for Clint Capela. They didn't get to see him at all. There's John Collins there. I don't think they would be completely against that. He could work with Trae Young as a pick and roll partner. That's fine. Detroit, Christian Wood. Again, I'm not necessarily sure he's a long-term answer. They absolutely would go, could go in that direction. The Knicks have Mitch Robinson. They have been loath to use him at times. I think there's a legitimate chance that Robinson can be a better NBA prospect than what Wiseman is, because he fits in his lane and Wiseman has some of those other defensive type concerns, but that's not an outrageous spot for him. Chicago, they've got Wendell Carter, who wants to be a four for some God knows reason. Lauri Markkanen, who was terrible this season. Wiseman absolutely could be a player they fit in there, especially if they're souring on one of those two, which it does appear that they could be doing. Charlotte, absolute no-brainer with the eighth worst record. If he fell down there, they should snap him up. Bismack Biyombo and Cody Zeller aren't cutting it, and PJ Washington probably better playing alongside someone like Wiseman. Washington, absolutely a chance there as well, considering Tom Bryant is not a long-term future piece. I don't think as a starting center in the NBA, Wiseman could fit alongside Beal and Wall pretty comfortably. But again, I'm just valuing perimeter guys higher. And then Phoenix has 10th pick, and they wouldn't take him because I don't think that fit with DeAndre Ayton really makes any sense, and Ayton's proven to me that he is a starting caliber NBA center. So while, again, we're not drafting for fit or need necessarily, that would be a waste when the Suns have, and there are other players who are equivalent around at that spot that could work out a little bit better for them. So that's sort of where I see Wiseman being able to fit. Again, this draft is so flat and so weirdly not top-heavy without high-level prospects that you can find spots for them to fit, most of these players to fit in many different squads. All right, so looking at Wiseman there for Dynasty. Again, I think he's probably going to be a Dynasty player that's a top four guy and will peak earlier on. And then 5-6 years in, I think we'll get a reduction in his numbers. The concerns, if we're going to summarize it, is shooting. Can he become any sort of a shooter outside of 3 or 4 feet? Can he be someone who is not a black hole? Can he be someone that does more than just protect the rim? Can he not be bullied down low because he's quite slim? That's a concern for him as well in terms of defensive strength. But the numbers and those block numbers look great. But I don't really buy them heading into the NBA. There are plenty of people who are watching this or listening to this who are going to disagree. And when you disagree, drop it in the comments. Let me know. Am I stupid? Would you take Wiseman at 1? Would you take him at 2? Would you take him in the top 10? I want to know because I feel like he is maybe the most polarizing prospect in this entire class of people, and again, because we just don't know so much about him, because we saw 3 games. And he put up numbers which were literally unbelievable in those games, in the limited minutes. But in those limited minutes, is that what he's going to play in the NBA? That's a possibility as well. And that reduces a ton of his overall value. So Wiseman. He's going to feature prominently in my mock draft that's coming on Friday. Let me know what you think. Where would you take James Wiseman in this class, the bluntman? Where would he go in this group? Smashing the shit out of that button, there's no doubt about that. So guys, don't forget to check out today's episode of Chad Ford's NBA Draft Big Board. He had John Hollinger on recently. They talked about some of the prospects they liked and didn't like, so check that out and subscribe to this show, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. Drop that comment down below, give it a thumbs up, subscribe, and tell all your friends. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.